Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. This is a one-minute introduction to the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, the related website, and methods of communication. The website is mbeinstitute.org. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. The topic is Diapason of Heaven for Spirit. Noah Webster defines diapason as compound concord. Principle is defined as structure and system. And includes the terms balance and harmony. If one is going to have a structure with a system, it is necessary that the system promote concord as opposed to the opposite of principle, which is chaos. What does matter represent? Does it represent concord or discord? Is there any conflict whatsoever that could be related to materiality? Mary Baker Eddy states that material existence is a theory based on lie compounded upon lie. So all existence that is defined as being based on matter includes chaos. On the other hand, spirit is the term to define substance. Mary Baker Eddy uses the term flawless with spirit and substance. That means it has to be harmonious. It has to be balanced. There can't be any defects whatsoever in spirit. Therefore, the substance of anything that is spiritual must also follow and be flawless. Every activity needs to be flawless unless one desires chaos. If one desires chaos, then they're going to want to stick with matter. Because spirit gives no chaos. There is no identification with spirit whatsoever that is chaotic. but its opposite matter is full of chaos, is full of flaws. It is impossible to be pure. It is flawed always. There are no exceptions. If you find you're dealing with something that is flawless, by definition, it cannot be based on matter. When they were breaking the atom down to try to get it to its smallest element, they were finding that they were able to discover that every time they were able to break it down into a smaller element, that what they were really doing was observing what was expected. In other words, consciousness was playing a part in the visual when they were dividing it. They finally came to the conclusion that the only thing they were seeing at all was what they were expecting to see, which was a smaller piece of matter. They were discovering that matter is a projection from one's own thought. The second quotation, at the beginning of Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science, is from Shakespeare, and it states, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Our thinking has a direct influence on what we see. What we see is a reflection of thought. It's not a reflection of fact, because thought can change. Fact, F-A-C-T, does not change. That means what cannot change has to be related to spirit, because spirit is flawless. When we think about the compounding of concord, if we want a structure to be stable, reliable, to where you can build forever on it, it has to be composed of spirit and not matter. If one would extrapolate that to everything in their experience, then they would realize that the only reality is of the substance of spirit, and anything that is less than that is what Kurt Russell calls fantasy land. As if you're in a movie. It is for entertainment purposes, and therefore it is unreal. If you've ever watched any documentaries or visited personally any of the movie studios, you would see that they are filled with tricks, deception. It's one game of magician tricks. diverting your attention from what is really going on, to a perception that the publisher or producer of the movie wants you to see and hear and feel and taste and smell. And the more senses you utilize, the more your focus is going to be. And if you're utilizing all five senses, if it's on matter, it's going to be total trickery. If it's on spirit, it's going to be the reverse. When Kurt Russell was asked, what is the difference between his character in a movie and his character in real life? And he flat out said that a movie is fantasy land. I cannot be in a movie. And be experiencing facts. The whole experience is fantasy. It's entertainment. There are some movies that are documentaries. They are considered to be educational and not entertainment. Learning about something as opposed to being entertained. In the book, Your Divinity Revealed, chapter 4 addresses all of the terms that Mary Baker Eddy utilizes in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scripture, to describe each of the seven terms for God. Chapter 4 is devoted to mind. Chapter 5 is to spirit and so forth. Up to chapter 10, which is for love. And they are in the order, which is called the days of creation, which coincides with Genesis chapter 1, up through verse 3 of chapter 2. Because the very first thing that it describes is mind. Qualities of mind, such as enlightenment. Enlightenment is needed for the qualities of spirit. Enlightenment opens our thought. If our thought is closed, we cannot progress. Jesus required the individuals that he was facing for healing, he required them to have an open thought. He would ask, do you have faith that you can be healed? Genesis chapter 1. In all 7 days, it says, let man do this or do that. And then it says, God did it. We have to let it come into our thought. We have to open our thought. Otherwise, there can be no progress. It's not a good thing. It is not icing on the cake. We can't even get to the beginning unless we've experienced enough chaos, disappointment, surprises that were unpleasant, to realize that we want something better. Until we get to that point, we're not going to be able to learn about God. The door will be closed. Learning about God is only possible if we realize that there must be something better than what we are relying on for the furtherance of our life. Real life is not a repeat of discord. Real life is being enlightened that there has to be something better, and that we desire to explore the possibilities. If we're not ready to explore the possibilities, then we're not ready to progress. Progress is never automatic. A young church sent a letter to Mary Baker Eddy and said they were so pleased that everything was going so well and the church was making so much progress. Mary Baker Eddy sent a response back. What do you think she said? She said, "That's too bad, because progress is only made if you're recognizing that you're surrounded with a barrage of mortal mind suggestions, and you tackle them, expose them, and eradicate them." Therefore, progress will be made only when there are challenges which are recognized and addressed. We must face every single one and not let a single one slip by without us noticing that it is wedging or attempting to wedge a division within what we perceive as harmony, uninterrupted. Harmony does not have to be interrupted, and it can only proceed without being interrupted if we are alert and eliminate the attempts at interrupting it. Truth is the healer. Mind is the medicine. We have to let the enlightenment of mind show where the trickery is, the deceit, and we have to make sure we get down to the root of the suggestion and not a decoy. Because the discord typically shows up in a way that we don't recognize that it's connected to something different than what is perceived. As we spiritualize our thought and make real progress, that enables us to become more alert and sharper to be able to recognize anything that is unlike God in any degree whatsoever. As we progress, the attacks from the opposite of spirit become more intense and more deceptive. If we observe what is happening in international affairs, it enlightens us to just how deceptive are mortal mind suggestions. When you recognize that you are on the side of the majority of human opinions, that's a dead giveaway that you're on the wrong side. You never want to be on the side of the majority of human opinion. Divine fact is another story. And that's where you must be in thought, speech, and action. If you're not fighting accepting what is being presented that is less than wholesome, if you're not putting up an absolute defense by recognizing it at the onset and go to work immediately about exposing it, then you're going to have a much more difficult solution than if you recognize it in the very beginning. Considering enlightenment, which is a quality of mind, is just a small sampling . Every synonymous term not only combines with every other synonymous term, but when we begin with mind and then add spirit, not only do we realize that qualities of mind are needed to get a more complete understanding of spirit, but the qualities of mind combined with spirit will show how important it is to utilize that combination to better understand soul. And then we must realize that combining mind, spirit, and soul are required to get a better understanding of principle. There is only one omni, and that is God. Everything about God is omni. Omni is defined as one, only, and all. God could not be omnipotent or omniscience or omnipresent or omniaction. in an isolated situation. Because everything about God works together in one grand network. The great redwood sequoia trees in northwest part of California. They're proposed to be the oldest and the tallest trees in the world. The roots are very shallow. You would think that any strong wind would blow them down. But that's before you learn that they are unified together and their roots actually mold together as one grand network where the entire network supports any single tree. And therefore draws its stability and resistance, ability to resist, any malady that may come along to try to shorten its life. The only real thing that can shorten the life of one of these beautiful, grandiose redwood sequoias is a non-thinking human so-called mortal mind. And it's a sad day when they use equipment that will destroy one of these specimens. I was taking a woodworking class in high school. I'd finished all my regular required courses, so I had an opportunity to select anything I desired, and so I chose a woodworking class. If we wanted to buy redwood, we could do it. It was available at the lumber yard. And it is a great wood, the best. It's impervious to any kind of insects. It's a wonderful wood to work with. And at the time, I did not appreciate what I was doing when I was buying the wood. But I was supporting, cutting down multi-thousand year old trees. And it's a shame because they could plant new redwood trees and they grow in the right climate very well. In Oregon, my wife and I met someone that had a beautiful redwood tree. It was probably 50 or 60 feet tall. And I said, wow, this is really beautiful. They had planted it. They had the ideal climate, and they planted it. If one cared about preserving the natural resources of the planet, they would be patient and plant or harvest something that had been previously planted and utilize that. That's what we should do. It's like any thought that we would plant in our consciousness. For example, a spiritual thought. And cultivate, mother it, nurture it. We should be thinking about the spiritual nature of everything and let that be a guide in how we conduct our affairs. Our affairs should be guided by looking at the big picture and preserving the things that are of a spiritual nature and exposing and eradicating anything that's not. We should be looking to compound concord continuously. History is a great teacher if we will pay attention. It's common knowledge from a standpoint of a material sense that history repeats itself ad infinitum without limit. That's only because human nature doesn't learn from mistakes. A small, very small percentage of the so-called human population actually takes a serious interest in one of the most important topics they could possibly discover and educate themselves to open up new dimensions of progress. If we don't learn from past mistakes, then we're on schedule to repeat them. And we get nowhere. That has to do with not only individual, but collective and universal dimensions. We should never start with the particle, but start with the whole. And then work down to the smaller and smaller spectrum in order to get to the speck, the individual, the single element that is the smallest of the whole. If we do that, we will recognize that the larger picture dictates the one the next size down. A professor brought a large white sheet to his class, hung it up across the viewing area, and asked the student, what do they see? They thought something was wrong. It's so obvious. They said, we see a big white sheet. What do you want us to see? The professor said, look closely. Finally, they discovered there was a little black dot in the middle. Oh, that's what you want us to focus on. He said, no, I want you to be aware of it, but how small it is in comparison to the big picture, the white sheet. He said, always let the larger realm guide you in your thought, speech, and action. But you have to recognize the smaller elements and solve any problem that is a conflict with the big picture. You don't try to make the big picture become the small element. You dissolve the small element that is a conflict with the big picture in order to enable you to progress. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Mary Baker Eddy responded to a letter from a student who was having trouble with vision, healing a case. And she said, everyone must be able to focus no matter what comes their way. What are we going to focus on? We should be focusing on the first quote at the beginning of the textbook. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we focus on the truth, it will enlighten us to the fallacy that is trying to disrupt our compound concord, our diapason. But we have to be spiritual enough to be able to recognize there's a problem. And we have to let mind enlighten us to how to solve it. Pignell Young, one of the top Christian Science practitioners in Mary Baker Eddy's day, had businessmen come to him frequently that didn't know how to operate their business. And they were expecting Christian Science to perform a miracle for them. Mary Baker Eddy stated that Jesus, mastering the qualities as a human, enabled him to bridge the gap and become more divine. We can't just run away from where we are. We have to work out the solution in order to progress. Einstein stated that you cannot solve a problem working on the same level as where the problem appeared. Shakespeare tells us nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We need to raise the realm of our thinking to a higher level. We need to see a larger view. Think of an airplane going up to 30,000 or more feet. Get the view from a high level so that you can put everything into perspective. In the menu, we have a selection that's entitled, "How Big Is Your Problem?" It's a very short video. I think it's 2 or 3 minutes. If you watch that, it will give you a visual of what we're discussing here. How important it is to expand our view to a high elevation in order to see more and put everything that appears to be a big problem into its proper perspective. The spiritual sense of seeing is discernment. Spiritual sense of hearing. Is spiritual understanding. Those two definitions of spiritual seeing and spiritual hearing were recorded in unpublished writings of Mary Baker Eddy and are published in a book called The Blue Book by Richard Oakes. In that book just referred to, the pages of 222 to 227 expand on Mary Baker Eddy's thoughts regarding the five spiritual senses. They are available from the menu or from the header. There's a button that says Featured Topics. And if you scroll to the area where Mary Baker Eddy is, it will elaborate on all five of the spiritual senses. If we do not utilize the spiritual senses, then we're working in the dark. And if we let mind guide us, we will be working in the light. And this applies to every one of the synonymous terms. The enlightenment is needed for soul to properly identify everything, because that's what our senses are used for, identification, and for principle, to know what is the right and wrong kind of a structure and system for the purpose at hand. Remember what Bicknell told his patients that wanted to get help and they didn't know anything about what they were doing. If you're taking a sport, as one of your interests. You should be taking lessons from someone that knows more about it than you do continuously. In the system of divine metaphysics, at the top of the food chain is Mary Baker Eddy. And if you don't take lessons from what she has written, you're going to waste a lot of time trying to make progress. And if it's another individual that you're trying to learn from, you better make sure that they're accurate on what they're saying, which means it has to agree with what Mary Baker Eddy says in the textbook. And there are a number of very excellent Christian scientists who have elaborated on the system of divine metaphysics. And that's referred to in the textbook, page 146, and also page 330. And it's also in the header. So one click will get you into the right area. Einstein said, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Christian science is the only religion that provides both. Religion, which is the religion of Christianity, and science, which is the structure and system of divine metaphysics that enables you to demonstrate as much healing as you're willing to contribute the effort, to learn the difference between right and wrong, and to cultivate your consciousness, striving for the Christ consciousness level and ascend above the lie upon lie that's been compounded in a material sense of existence. There is no alternative to progress. It's either progress or regression. Because nothing is stagnant. Progress cannot be frozen. It's either free to go forward or it's going to automatically go backwards. We must remember the purpose of Isaiah that is quoted by Mary Baker Eddy as an introductory quote to chapter 14, wherein she says, by quoting Isaiah, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. She emphasizes the need to make a little progress every day. Remember the race between the turtle and the rabbit. The rabbit took off like wildfire, got tired almost immediately, and laid down along the side of the road and rested. Went to sleep. Meantime, the turtle walked right on through the finish line. Steady progress. If you click on the button in the header called Heal Everything, we give you step-by-step instructions on how you can do exactly that. It's not pushing a button and it's done automatically. Because if you're walking and not walking on water, then part of you is in the water, which is the mesmerism of mortal thought. If you've ever water skied, you start generally being immersed in water. And then you are pulled out of the water with forward force. And you get up on top of the water. We have to look to spirit as the attracting force in order to get away from and above its opposite, which is matter. We have to look at immortal mind to get above the fallacy of mortal mind. Mary Baker Eddy defines mortal mind as an oxymoron, saying that mind is immortal. So you cannot put the words mind and mortal together, because mind is immortal, the opposite of mortal. Truth is consciousness and motive. You need mind in order to enlighten you to the true spiritual motive and consciousness that you need to have in the synonymous term named truth. Do you make any mistakes in your life? If you haven't, then you're not only walking on water, but you've already ascended before you got started. Otherwise, you're going to be like everyone else that has to go through a progressive state. But a burning desire is needed in order to keep thought on track so that we're doing good things, means things of God. Mary Baker Eddy defines good on page 587 in the glossary as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. When Mary Baker Eddy says we have to do good things. And she further states that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. The only choice we have is to do things of God. Are we doing things of God? The power that we can reflect is directly proportional to the good we are doing, the godlike. Jesus was addressed as the good master by a Pharisee. And Jesus immediately refuted it and said, there is none good but God. We have to be humble. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Are we willing to get off of our high horse and work with someone that could utilize our assistance on their level? Or are we going to elevate ourselves above them and try to communicate with them on a level that they do not relate to? We have to meet the situation where it needs to be met in order for there to be intelligent communication. We have to keep our thought always as a guide at the high spiritual level, but we cannot heal anything unless we face the problem at the level where it is, so it can be exposed and eradicated. There's an unlimited opportunity for anyone to transfer and transform thought, speech, and action to a higher level. There's no limit because God is infinite. But the effort has to be made in a methodical, consistent, scientific manner. Mary Baker Eddy prayed hourly, every hour, to make sure that she was keeping her thought on a spiritual level when thinking about anyone or any event. If she felt it needed to be required on an hourly basis, who are we to say we don't need it? If you only spent 2 minutes, an hour, contemplating that kind of a realm of perfection about everything and everyone, then we're not really serious. If you click on that Heal Everything button in the header, which is on every page, where it gives step-by-step instructions, you will see that at the very onset of the system, it stresses the importance of giving and prayer. And prayer is interpreted as living. You're living your prayer. Every thought, speech, and action is living a prayer. Is it an evil one? Is it one of waste? Or is it one of construction and transformation? No one can do it for you. No one can do the hourly prayer. She also prayed 3 times a day for everyone and everything. The hourly was for her own consciousness to purify it, or at least do a reality check to make sure that she was not violating the rules of the game. We cannot be a reflection of the one and only infinite divine mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth, and love without making the effort. There's nothing more rewarding than giving a gift to someone that really needs it. And you do it anonymously. It's not difficult to do. The Bible says we should tithe, which means a tenth part. It makes sense to look upon that as a catch-all net. How about going after the big fish? Forget 10%. How about 20%? You want to be a B student? You want to be an A student? How about 30? If you've got $100, are you willing to give away 30? Or 20? Or only 10? Or like most people, and give nothing? Nothing. Always looking for something free and not be willing to give anything for value received. Nothing. You're willing to give nothing. What did Jesus give? Everything he had. He didn't accumulate anything. How about Mary Baker Eddy? She gave away all she had. The woman that put 2 mites in the collection that Jesus refers to gave all she had. All. He said she gave more than anyone else, even though it was only two mites. I looked it up. A mite is equivalent, two mites are equivalent to about one penny. Mary Baker Eddy begins Christian Science Practice, chapter 12 in the textbook, with the story of Mary Magdalene. Did Jesus give anything to her? He looked upon her as someone that had been transformed. Not upon someone that had a colored past, a past of obviously sinful activities. No. He graciously accepted her, washing his feet, drying him with the hairs of her head, and using expensive ointment. The custom in those days was when you were a guest of someone that you would get that kind of treatment. But he didn't receive it from Simon, who was hosting him. No. The routine was totally neglected, but not by her. She gave all there was to give, the maximum. Humility by washing the feet and doing it to who has been described by Mary Baker Eddy herself as the best man that ever trod the globe. Did Jesus look down upon her? Not a chance. And remember, she was one of the half a dozen people that attended his crucifixion. She and John and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, the one that was in the event in Simon's home. That washed Jesus' feet. And there were two or three others. John was the only disciple that was not fearful about losing his life by attending the crucifixion and supporting the best man that ever trod the globe. The one that gave his life teaching the 12 disciples. He was constantly attacked. Mary Baker Eddy was constantly attacked. Anyone promoting the truth is going to be constantly attacked. Anyone that is trying to get rid of corruption, constantly attacked. Are we going to take a stand for truth? Or are we going to bow down to the devil, which is a belief of sin, sickness, and death? Are we going to worship personality by subordinating ourselves to it? Are we going to stand at a higher level? If you've ever observed track meets, one of the events is the high jump. They start the bar at one level, and then they keep raising it higher. Where are we going to put our bar? Where are we going to put our standard? What are we going to accept as our standard? Are we going to have any standard at all? Or are we going to be like the one that gives nothing? Don't even think about wanting to strive to be able to overcome a problem. If you're not willing to follow the steps that we outline in detail, and right at the head of the list is having a life of giving and praying hourly to make sure that we are on a spiritual level with every thought, speech, and action. Only a couple of minutes an hour does it take. You know whether or not you are thinking goodly or evil thoughts about someone, anyone, everyone. You will not have a lot of company if you take the straight and narrow path, but the company you have will be more valuable than any you would have on the other path. The other path does not provide anything but personal pleasure, which evaporates very quickly, has no lasting value. Diapason. Is compound harmony. Compound goodness. Compound spirit. Compound spiritual transformation. We must make affirmative statements of truth, even though we may feel we don't understand what we're saying. Because the leaven of truth will give you understanding the more thought you devote to spirit compared to matter. Immortal mind compared to mortal mind. Spiritual sense compared to material sense. Spiritual principle compared to chaos. Spiritual life compared to a life of taking. Spiritual truth as compared to a facade. And spiritual love, which is the combination of wholeness upon wholeness from a spiritual perspective. It is an individual decision on whether you want to take the easy step and do nothing, or you've made a commitment that you must improve your situation no matter what it takes. Only you can make the decision. No one else can do it for you. No one else can make the progressive steps for you. You've got to dig in. Click on the heal everything, and you will see what's involved. It's not for everyone. It's for the ones that want to progress. If you want to find out if it's going to be worth the effort, read chapter 18 in the textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which is entitled Fruitage. There are 85 individuals that testified to the healings they had, which number 486 in total, from those 85 people, just under six apiece. And you will see how far-reaching the power of truth is. Frederick L. Rawson discovered how to treat back in time. If you had a problem 30 years ago and you've been suffering with it to the present day, you can go back and heal it from when the problem first appeared and have it disappear from your memory. Going back in time. The only one that ever discovered how to do that. And he has shared the details. Find another religion that even considers healing . They all try to convince their audience that they're there to appease you about sins. Hold your hand. Or even go so far as to say, you are forgiven for your sins, go here and do this. Mary Baker Eddy defines church as that institution which affords proof of its utility. Does that sound like a building? A structure? Something made out of wood or masonry? Or rock? It It's mental. Everything is mental. The only thing that exists are God and God's ideas. And those are all spiritual qualities. Qualities, all are qualities. In fact, it's all is qualities. Because allness is singular about the composite of everything. What are you grateful for? By the way, I will caution you not to give money to any institution unless you know the people and know how the money is going to be spent. Even the Red Cross, which started out to be very much devoted to helping individuals that were injured in war, is totally corrupt. Every church there may be a few exceptions, but most every church has been totally corrupted. Humanity wants something for nothing, and they want to steal it from those who have so they can benefit from it. Instead of giving away money to those who you do not know and trust that they will be utilizing it in a proper manner, approach it on an individual level. See who you can help. Be alert to anyone in need. And see how you can give anonymously to what they need. Money can't be used as clothing, shelter. You can't eat it. It's not food. If they need food, maybe you can buy food. Shelter, clothing, transportation. How about teaching them a skill that you know about that they may have a strong interest in? Get to know the individual and how they can be helped, how they want to be helped, how they're ready for taking a step up instead of a hand out. Teaching them how to fish instead of giving them a fish. If you don't take an individual interest in giving to everyone instead of taking from everyone, you're wasting your time to try to transform yourself into something that can overcome any problem whatsoever. You will learn how to protect yourself from having problems. Because you'll be able to recognize it in advance, and you'll form a protective shield around you that can't be penetrated. You will learn how to help people that are in an accident that you observe. and you will learn about priorities. Self-improvement is one of the first things on the list. Do you know how to manage your schedule? Have you ever studied time management? Do you want to accomplish anything today? What do you know about goal management? G-O-A-L. Do you have any interest in reading? Do you know how to read a book properly? Do you have any trouble in listening and learning from what you hear? You can sharpen your skill up on listening abilities, listening skills. Whatever we are doing, we need to excel. And the only way we can do that is to cultivate like a mother. Nurture. If you want to get some exercise and you like tennis, take tennis lessons. Forever. Always having someone that knows more about it than you do as an instructor. If you're in any kind of competition, never, ever think about competition. Does God have any competition? Does God have any opposition? God is one only and all. There's no opposition or competition to that. Genesis 1 says that God made you in His image and likeness, so how can you have competition or opposition? You learn to run your own race. And what is your goal? Perfection. Not beating someone else. Not ending up first ahead of someone else. Not being in a group that wants to be in a group that beats another group. Mary Baker Eddy says, we will keep plenty busy taking care of our own affairs without thinking about someone else. And our own affairs, of course, includes being alert to anyone in need. That is our affair because it's our consciousness. It's not meddling in someone else's affairs. It is purifying our own thought. Striving for the flawless nature of spirit. We want to compound the good that we do and embody. Do you realize that every part of your physical body is the reverse of the truth about it? Frederick L. Rawson, a genius of a Christian Scientist, in the book he wrote, one of many, entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, he has a few pages on the spiritual meaning of the parts of the body. And he has a couple hundred pages which outline 1,315 different solutions to ailments. I don't recommend you reading that from beginning to end, but only reading whatever little bit, which is probably a portion of a page, maybe even only one paragraph, on any particular problem that you are having. We have it all alphabetized on our website, which is entitled mbeinstitute.org. We also have .com. Easy to get faith by reading about those who have had healings that are beyond the scope of human comprehension. You need to open your thought to a new dimension. And if you've already done that, then you're ready to take those steps that are referred to by Isaiah about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You should be searching for the pearl of great price in all your thought, speech, and action. It's there. We tell you how to find it. Will you do it? Will you be bold and take that step? I am so grateful for everyone that has written anything that I've read. Everything has a pearl of great price that you can gain from and utilize one way or the other. It's either a direct benefit or you flip it and it reminds you of what you don't want to be like. Every challenge has a pearl of wisdom in it. We don't want to carry the cross around with us. The cross is a symbol of materiality. We want to be like Moses. He threw down his rod. He faced it, picked it up, became a staff. I will close by reading the Diapason of Heaven, which is a prayer treatment that she wrote for her 1898 class, which is the most advanced class she ever taught. Everyone was individually chosen by her. On the third day of the class, everyone was commissioned to go out and perform a healing. They all did, after only 3 days of teaching. And when the class was completed, everyone that was still in it received a CSD, Doctorate of Christian Science degree. I shall read the Diapason of Heaven for Spirit by Mary Baker Eddy. We must declare often that Spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one Spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is 25:06:26 at 1952. The end.